This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. On the show this week, we review the Neutrino USEA American Eventing Championships presented by VTO Saddlery, which concluded at the Texas Rose Horse Park this weekend. We'll be hearing from Bobby Covington from Austin, Texas, who won the Broadstone Beginner Novice Amateur Championships riding Halo. And he'll be followed by Jacob Fletcher, who rode Atlantic Domino to win the Adequan Advanced Gold Cup Championship. But first, we're going to hear from Jo Whitehouse, who was at the finals for the last time in her role as CEO. Looking back at that weekend, Jo, lots to celebrate, I would imagine. It was a great success.
It was a success. I'd never seen so many smiling faces and happy people. It was a real pleasure, Chris.
A great way to end your visit to the Texas Rose Horse Park for the venue for the AECs, and before we move on now. So let's talk about how the competition went, how the week went for you.
It went very well. I mean, it was probably the smoothest, and I think the volunteers were all into their routine. My goodness, what would we do without those volunteers? Obviously, there's too many to name, because it is amazing the number of people that came out to help us. Jerry was a wonderful, wonderful asset. And there's so many people locally in Texas that step up and support this event. And thank you to all of them. So the volunteers were great. And they were out there like Monday morning getting ready for everybody coming. And people were driving in. We've had people from Salt Lake City, from California. People came from the East Coast, Northwest Coast, just a tremendous support. Not so many as last year or the year before, but it tends to be that way over the three-year period. And I know everybody's excited about where it's going next year, so it may be that some people save their pennies for next year. But nevertheless, it was a tremendous competition. Mark Phillips outdid himself with the cross-country courses, and there's some people going home with a little bit of homework to do. And I think you've seen the video of Leslie Law Save that's going around. I think it's been viewed, I don't know, millions of times, because it's the most tremendous save of him going through the water. And by golly, that's a good horse. He put him right back in the saddle. Tremendous save. But no, there's some fun things that came out of it. And I think in general, everybody had a wonderful time. The announcer did tell me he was getting hoarse listing all of the sponsors and the prizes they were getting. It was a lengthy, lengthy list. So the sponsors really outshone themselves this year. The prizes were tremendous. Thanks to them, too. Between the volunteers and the sponsors, this couldn't happen. It really couldn't happen. But the riders, so many pictures of smiling ear to ear, you know, great fear and trepidation as they went into the dressage arena. One little girl, I can't do this. And her coach said, yes, you can, get in there and do it. And she had a beautiful performance. So it's fun to see them come through, you know, it'd be very challenging to them. And they come through, and the smiles at the end, just something you never forget.
Well, we heard in the lead-up to the championships, Jo, from a number of the very, very young riders and how important it is to them. You know, these children, some are coming back to the AEC, some their first time. And we're also going to hear from Bobby Covington and Jacob Fletcher a little bit later on in the program and what it means to them. And, you know, I think they will say, certainly for region, for Area 5 and certainly for the amateurs, this is really like their Olympics, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you should have seen Brian Sabo and Misa Sabo brought out this little girl, Meg, and she's 11 years old, and she is on this pony Ganymede, and she won the Mark Phillips Pony Rider Award in the Beginner Novice. I have never seen, and the tears of pure joy, and the hugs that pony got, and she was hugging the pony so hard, I had to go say, you have to come out and get your picture taken, because all she could think about was kissing her pony, because it had done so much for her. And then at the other end of the scale, there was a lady there who has requested a Medicare division. She's on Medicare, and she competed in her first beginner novice championship at the AEC and was absolutely just so joyful. I mean, she was crying too. So we got, you know, the youngest, and we got the probably the most senior rider there. But it was just a wonderful experience to see what it means to them. And as far as Jacob and the Adam Gold Cup, oh my goodness, that was nail biting. There wasn't a rail to separate them, and he just did a perfect job. So you're going to have a good interview with Jacob, because he's a real character. We all love Jacob. And I think you probably saw Carolyn Martin's pictures of her horse on Eventing Nation. That was just a great series of photographs with him questioning, what do you mean I didn't win? Because he jumped clear. And then Buck with the apprentice, you know, always thank Buck, because he supports these championships, as does Leslie Law and John Holling. I mean, they all came for that advanced championships, and Caroline Martin did everything she needed to do, but Jacob wasn't going to let her have it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was nail-biting. And Adequan, the representatives from Adequan were there, and we couldn't have given them a better show. I mean, they were jumping up and down, too, so it was a really good event. And, of course, Neutrina. They've been with us now since 1997. They've been sponsoring the USEA. I can't say enough about Neutrina. And, of course, VTO Saddlery. They've been the presenting sponsor for the years. And so without those sponsors, without VTO Saddler, who's been the presenting sponsor for 3 years and were with us for 3 years before that, it's really a blessing for us that they stick with us and have supported us now for so long, and can't thank them enough. But I think the one thing I would like to do, Chris, is thank the USEA staff. What a great team we have. We have those who stayed home to keep the eyes burning, all of the phone calls and questions coming in back home, and then we had the staff that were there. They went over and above, and were performing outside of their normal work duties. We really asked a lot of them, and they absolutely came through for us. And so a big thank you to Rob Burke, who I couldn't have done it. No way could we have done this without Rob Burke. What a tremendous asset he is. And Kate Loki. We had Leslie Mintz, who everything you read on the website and on Facebook was under the management of Leslie Mintz. The photographs are Leslie's. We had a brand new staff member with us, and actually her first day was Monday at the AECs. And we were like, this is a real baptism of fire. But she came through and has proved that we made a good decision hiring Shelby. Rebecca and Jason, the merchandise booth was just humming the whole entire time. And Jason was helping Rebecca with that, but also managing all the IT, setting up all of the equipment that we needed to do all of the coverage. So we have a tremendous staff. And we had Carly, who works for Mythic Landing. She came out to manage the media tent, and complete pleasure to work with. I can tell you how great those people are. The Sarah Broussard with the safety, what could we do without Sarah? She's really, really good at that job, and it's nice to have that security that Sarah's there to help us through anything that happens. Unfortunately, it was a fairly quiet weekend. We didn't have too many accidents, but Mark Phillips really puts on a very challenging course, and those that completed the event can be very proud of what they accomplished at all levels.
Well, that's fantastic. Obviously, a celebration for everybody, from competitor to volunteer, sponsor, and, of course, the staff. And moving on then, Joe, saying farewell to the Texas Horse Park this year. Let's talk about what the riders can expect when they want to return to the AECs next year.
Yeah, I do have a couple of other things to say, though. I do have to say thank you to the Brunson family and Kathy Brunson's staff and her daughter Kim, who made us so welcome. They really did a great job of presenting the horse park for us in pristine condition. So we really thank the Brunsons for the last 3 years. And we're kind of sad to say goodbye, but we hope that we've got friends for life there. And to Diane Pitts, my goodness, she is the Energizer Bunny. She never stopped. And, you know, at the end of the day on Sunday, out she is in the arena taking down all the banners. And she's a great president and a great leader. And we're very lucky that we have Diane. So thanks to her. And, of course, would love to be able to say thank you to Robert Kellerhouse and his team and Christina Gray and Shannon Lilly. They did a fabulous job. You know, obviously, Robert is the competition director, and Christina is the secretary, who was Shannon Lilly. I don't know how many thousands of questions they answer with a smile, and they just keep going as long as it's needed, and they did a fabulous job. So I'd like to thank Robert and the Del Mar Eventing team and Christina Gray. And I think there's a lot of people involved in that group, and just want to say thank you. We couldn't have done it without you. As far as next year, it's moving to Tryon, and it will be Labor Day weekend. And the Tryon International Horse Park there is something to behold. It will be a different model. Mark Bellissimo and his team are actually going to take over the running of the event. It was an awful lot to ask our staff to do over the last 3 years to be the, you know, USEA was the organizer of it. And so the model is changing slightly. It's going to be more of a partnership. But the horse park will take over the organization of it. So it's obviously still the USEA's property, and we're very proud of what we've accomplished with it. It's taken a while to get it right, and we're still working on it. There's still some things that we have to tweak, but I think it's going to be a different event, but it's going to be one everybody will want to go to. Again, Mark Phillips designed courses. He's working on that plan. He showed me the map that he's working on, and a lot to do for sure. But those workers at the Tryon facility, it's amazing what they can accomplish in a very short time. So we have great faith in them, and we're looking forward to being there with them next year.
And that's all on the Labor Day weekend, so big celebration there. Of course, when you get to a new venue, everybody looks forward with excitement, I think, to a new venue and new organization. But the actual premise remains the same. This is the championship for all of the members, isn't it?
All of the members. From the 10-year-old, we had a 10-year-old there this year on her pony, but from 10 years old to 65, 70 years old. This is their moment to shine, their championships. This is why we did it. But in doing that for the entire membership, the adult amateurs, the professionals, we wanted to make it something that everybody could be a part of, because having those children and those adult amateurs walk the courses with Leslie Law and Tammy Smith, and I'm going to get into trouble for not naming all the people that did that, Scott Davidson, Mike Huber. Mike Huber was instrumental in us getting that championship there and making it happen. So many people to thank for this, the entire AEC over the years. But I think it's for everybody, but we also hope that we can actually help some of the professionals make a little extra money. And I know there's a lot of people that say it needs to be a CIC, but if you know, maybe one day it will be. But right now, being a National Horse Trials, it allows for people to bring their more mature horses that maybe have ended their international careers, but still enjoy going out there and playing, and maybe can earn a few dollars for their riders for the year, because the prize money is always attractive, and we're constantly working to improve that. But right now, I think having a national horse trials that allows everybody, horses, everybody, to participate, it's a good thing, and I think we need to just see how it works at Tryon. But maybe one day in the future we'll change that. But there's an awful lot of CICs at all levels out there, so maybe we don't need another one. We'll wait and see.
All right. Well, we'll keep everybody posted here on any developments for the AECs. Again, thanks to all of those sponsors, Joe, to Neutrina, of course, Neutrina USCA Eventing Championships, and, of course, presented by VTO. And as you say, the list goes on, and they all are all credited on the website at useventing.com. Well, you've still got lots to look forward to before we let you off the leash.
I do. Yeah, there's a lot to do. I couldn't be handing the reins. As most people know, I'm actually retiring as CEO in December, and I couldn't be handing on to a better candidate. The moment I set my eyes on Rob Burke and we started talking, this is the man for the job, and so much more. I mean, he is he's just a gem, and so to hand it off to somebody like that is really good for me, because I know that the team I've put together and with Robert at the helm, I think it's all going to be a huge success and go from strength to strength. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to. A lot of programs that are going to need funding, and so I'm going to be working with the USCA to do some fundraising to make sure that our educational programs and the programs that benefit the horses and the riders safety-wise. A cardiopulmonary study that's been going for a few years now, but they are gearing up. They just had a big breakthrough, and we've got some great results that are coming out of that. That will be at the Catherine Cohn is coming to the annual meeting to share the findings that team have done. And we've got some other programs that are really going to be valuable to us as far as improving safety for horses and riders, which is obviously what the USCA's predominant goal is, to make the sport as safe as it possibly can be. So everybody. So I'm going to be working on some fundraising projects to make sure that the funding is there for these studies. I'm looking forward to that. It will be, I'm sure it's going to be hard work, but the responsibility for the entire USEA as CEO, I'm ready to hand that over. I'm ready to do that and concentrate this aspect. So, as I say, couldn't have had a better person to hand it over to in Rob Burke. So, and Diane Pitts is president for another year, so I'm sure everything will be very smooth next year.
Well, I know everything will just keep ticking along thanks to you having set it up the way that you have, Joe. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program and sharing your experiences of this year's AECs. And we'll look forward to getting you on again before we hand over the reins to Rob in December.
Well, thank you, Chris, and look forward to seeing everybody at Tryon next year. And please come to the annual meeting, because we do want your input into the future of the sport for the next 10 years. So please participate in that.
And the venue for this year's convention is the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. from December the 2nd through the 5th. And you'll find more information as well as the details for registration on the website at useventing.com. And one of the many winners at the Neutrina USEA American Eventing Championships presented by VTO Saddlery was Bobby Covington from Austin in Texas, who won the Broadstone Beginner Novice Amateur riding Halo. And he joins us now to tell us what that meant to him. First of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations. That's a nice win for you just down the road there.
Yeah. Very excited.
Yeah, as an amateur, obviously, this must be a high point of your riding career to win at the AECs.
Yeah, this is kind of, for the amateurs, this is kind of our version of the Olympics. So to win it is kind of, I think everyone's, you know, the lower level amateur, that's kind of, that's the pinnacle of what we're all working towards. For me anyway, and I think for most of my friends. So it was pretty exciting.
Well, you must
still
have,
riding the high.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Hopefully you celebrated well from this success. But looking at the record of Halo, I mean, he's amazingly consistent. So going into the competition, were you expecting him to maintain that kind of consistency?
Yes, he's gotten really, really consistently in the 20s in dressage. So I felt pretty confident that we'd be in the top 10. I knew, you know, I mean, we only compete in Area 5, so I knew how we do regularly against those competitors, but knowing that it's everyone across the country, you just don't know how you're going to stack up against them. So I felt confident with his consistency that we would hopefully be in the top 10, and we turned out to be in the top 2, which was even more exciting.
Well, even better, because you've had, what, 3 wins, is it, so far this season with him?
Yes, we've had 3 wins, and we moved up to novice back in August, and we actually won our move up to novice. So that was also very exciting. We're having a pretty awesome year, so it's pretty exciting.
You really are. This would be the icing on the cake, though, for you so far, would it?
Yes, absolutely. It's kind of a dream come true.
I'm sure. How long have you been riding him?
I have been riding him for, gosh, I guess I got him in 2007, so about 8 years.
And how did you find him originally? How did that partnership begin?
I found him, I as a teenager, I had a Turkana mare named Fable that I competed up through prelim, and I just kept her when I graduated college, and, you know, she eventually, I had to retire her, but, you know, you're a poor out-of-college student, and you can't afford 2 horses, and, you know, I was keeping her until her time passed, you know, after our partnership. And finally I got to the point where I could afford 2 horses, and I'd moved to Texas, and there wasn't a lot of eventing in Austin at the time. And so I called the one eventing barn, and I said, you know, I'm wanting to buy another horse, and I just don't know, I don't even know where to start. And she's like, have you been riding? Her name is Dana Teetons, and she had Unicorn Equestrian. And I came out, and she's like, you know, why don't you just start riding? You haven't been riding. So she had Halo, who she just bought on a whim because she actually wanted his brother, and she didn't want to leave Halo out in the pasture by himself. So she just kind of bought him. He hadn't done a whole bunch. And she's like, why don't you just ride him, just get back in the groove of it? Well, you know, I was real nervous, you know, because I'd only ridden my other mare. And so, you know, just kind of getting back into it, I kind of lost my nerve. And so riding him, he was just so sweet and so honest, very spooky, but just a sweet soul. And I just felt so confident on him. And one day we were at schooling, I turned to Dana and I said, I want to buy him. And she laughed at me. And I said, I'm serious. She's like, you really want to buy him? Because he has this cough that doesn't go away. And I said, I want him. And 8 years later, still here.
Now,
just
what
kind
is
of
it?
Bucked into him.
Yeah, clearly a partnership that works. Well, what is it about his personality that you so enjoy, the temperament that he must have for the dressage, and obviously the performance that you need all round? What was it that clicked for you?
He tries. I've just never been on a horse that just, he tries so hard. Like, everything you ask him to do in dressage, like, he wants to do it. Like, he really wants to work as a team. And he's very sensitive also in dressage. So, like, if I'm pressuring him and he gets confused, you know, he'll get very flustered. So you got to give him a gentle ride, but just his whole spirit is like, I want to be a team. I want to work with you. And I hadn't really felt that in a horse before. So that was one of the biggest draws. And of course, I mean, he's just a big galoot. He's just a sweet personality.
Yeah. Well, obviously, being an amateur, the time you spend with him is important. I'm curious as to how you fit that into your day job and who you train with, how often you get the opportunity to ride. And tell people, first of all, what you do by day, Bobby.
Oh, well, by day, I what pays for Halo is I work for Whole Foods Market. They are actually headquartered here in Austin. So I work at the global headquarters as an executive assistant. I've basically work in the time. I mean, right now I'm actually at the barn. I kind of snuck out before work. And, you know, as an amateur, you've been working a 9-to-5 job. You fit it in when you can, and you just kind of have to make it a priority. Like, if I make sure I go to the barn at least 4 times a week. I mean, at beginner novice, that's sufficient. and I think kind of a novice for a thoroughbred, he's pretty fit. You just have to commit. Like if I'm going out on Tuesday, even if I don't get to work till 6:30 or 7, I'm still going up to the barn. I'm riding under the lights. You just have to make it. You just have to make it happen. Otherwise, it's very easy to let it not happen and let work and everything else kind of take over.
And where did this passion for eventing come from?
It came from, gosh, I mean, I've been riding since I was a little kid, but we moved in, I used to live in Georgia. We moved into, actually, Elisa Wallace. We boarded at her father's barn way back in late 80s, early 90s, and we boarded across the street from Nancy Gosh at Wooden Horse Stable, who taught eventing, and it just so happened, you know, they were there, so my mom sent me there for lessons, and I just fell in love with the sport, and I've just been doing it ever since.
And when you're not, obviously, at work, how do you fit in your, the competition schedule? I'm curious about, you know, obviously, as you say, you know, you have to spend your time wisely and getting off work as well for a long weekend. How do you juggle all that?
I'm very lucky in this aspect that my boss really supports what I do. And I'm very fortunate in that situation where she allows me to do this. So if I've got an important competition, she's supportive of me going. So I'm in that very lucky situation where that work is not an issue as long as I'm performing and, you know, obviously not taking off during earnings release week or something. Very important. You know, I pick the shows according to the work schedule, and then it just kind of works out from there.
And who do you train with then now, Bobby?
I train with two different people. For dressage, I train with Martin Arnold. He's of Concordia Dressage. And then for jumping, I ride with Amanda Merritt. She does hers is Anchor Equestrian. I haul to Amanda. She's kind of near College Station, but we're very, very lucky because Martin, our dressage trainer, is right down the street, so we can have a little more easier access to him. So we probably have about a lesson a month in dressage and then about a lesson a month in jumping, trying to up that this winter since we're going to be going novice full steam.
Full steam ahead. Were they there to help you at the AECs this week?
Yes, Amanda, Martin was not able to. They had a dressage clinic, but Amanda Merritt was there to help. She babysat me all weekend.
Now, did you need a babysitter? Are you someone who gets nervous before a big event?
I get nervous, but it's more... Yeah, I kind of shut down when I get nervous in warm-up, and just having her there to be... just helping me remember to ride and help Halo, because I'm really good at just shutting down and not helping him. So it was helpful to have her there and remind me that I needed to be a contributing member of the team.
And in terms of the course itself, how did that ride for you? What did you think when you walked it and how it actually rode?
I thought when I walked it, I thought it was going to be a good gallopy course. There were some good, I thought the first water, that was a good question for beginner novice. You know, it was all numbered separately, but you could kind of ride it on angle the bank, there was a house and then kind of a ramp you could angle. So I thought there were some good questions. I mean, you didn't have to, you had the option to make it more difficult. It rode the way I thought it would. He was really spooky. He's very spooky at times, so he jumped a lot of things differently than I anticipated that he would jump them. But the course rode really well. I thought it was well laid out, and you know, I thought it was a good challenging championship course for beginner novice.
Well, of course, it was a very, very big field, wasn't it? I mean, that was a convincing win for you. You must be especially pleased, given the competition that was in that field, finishing second after dressage and then moving up to cross country. You just had to hold on to everything. I mean, what was that final moment like for you, Bobby, when you realized you did it?
There's a picture on the USCA website, which I think just embodies it. I've got my hand up in the air and I'm just yelling. I mean, that's the most intense pressure I'd felt. And we rode at the end of the day, so I just had all day to watch people do stadium, and I'm watching where the rails are falling, and I mean, my mouth is dry, my stomach's in knots, and I mean, we also did the adult team challenge, and my team members, they all ended up having difficulties in the last jump, and they're all really strong show jumpers, so I was very nervous, because that's definitely not my strongest part of the sport. So when we jumped, Cleary kicked the rail, he hit it, and my heart sank, but I looked back and I saw it was still up, and that's when I was like, yeah, we did it.
So it was time for a fist pump then.
Yeah, it was. I think that may have been my first fist pump after show jumping.
Well, in terms of his performance and his continued consistency, you know, going forward now into novice, what did you really take away, apart from the prizes and the glory and the memories? What was your biggest takeaway from his performance this weekend?
My biggest takeaway is that, I mean, I can really trust him and just rely on him. I had a bunch of epic mistakes in show jumping, and I mean, he just picked up the line and did it when he didn't need to. I mean, he could have quit, he could have crashed the fence, and I mean, he did it. And we had a similar one cross country where I gave him a really bad line and he just did it. I mean, it's just one of those times where you learn that, I mean, I knew we had a strong partnership and I knew how strong he is, and I just realized how much more trust I can place in him than I already do.
So where next for Bobby Covington and Halo?
What's next?
Yes, what next for this season, and then looking forward to next season, if you dare look ahead?
Well, we got a wild hair. Since we qualified for the area championships at our first novice, we are going to do the novice area championships at the end of October. And then we're going to go to, I thought I'd actually run him back to Texas Rose and run the novice there, because I think that's a really challenging novice, and I'm imagining they're not going to change it much from the championship course. And then I kind of have maybe pipe dreams of thinking about training late spring next year, but we'll see how the winter prep goes.
Terrific. Well, he certainly is a keeper, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, long may you enjoy the win there this weekend at the AEC's, Bobby. Congratulations again, and thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you very much.
21-year-old Jacob Fletcher is making a name for himself in the sport and has some international experience to his credit, which he took with him to the Texas Rose Horse Park, where he won the Adequan Advanced Gold Cup Championships this weekend with Atlantic Domino. Welcome to the program and congratulations.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me, Miss Chris.
Well, it is obviously a high point, isn't it, when you win a championship of any sort, but this one's particularly special for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the AACs. I think it's the only competition like it that supports the lower levels as much as it does the upper levels. But it is very close to home because it's been held in Area 5, and no one in Area 5 has won it since it's been there, and this is its last year. So it was very, very cool to be able to win it on the home turf.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Just making the point there that this did belong to Area 5.
For sure. That was the plan. And I was hoping I could, hoping one of us Area 5 riders could do it, because Buck was about to run away with it, I think, the second time in 2 years.
And you were not going to let that happen. You had, a fence in hand, didn't you, going into the show jumping. So let's talk about this partnership that you have with Atlantic Domino, because you already had 3 wins this year already, haven't you? It's quite a consistent horse for you.
And, you know, if you look at his FEI record, I've actually had a few 20s at some of the 3 stars we did, especially over in Europe last year. So I think it was good that I spent some time kind of ticking all the boxes and getting everything in order at intermediate a few times this spring and then this summer. I think that really helped out a lot. And then he's just been on fire since after Chattahoochee. That was not the best show for us. But since then, since we went up to Minnesota and did Repke, he's just really been on at every competition. And I'm hoping Richland in this is kind of solidifying that we're on the right track and can head in with some more confidence going into Galway later this year.
That's where you're heading next, is it, over to Galway Downs?
That's the plan. Yeah, I think I'm headed there with Mike in the next, I think it's 5 weeks from now.
Right.
So got some time to get him fit and get all the icing on top of the cake.
There you go. Well, let's talk a little bit about how your partnership even formed, Jacob, because you've had quite the journey with him already. Talk a lot about that a little bit.
Sure. So I started. Susie Pragnell is the agent that found him for me, and he had done a few two. He'd done a number of two stars. I think actually won his last two star, and then done a few advanced horse trials. I think Ass in the Walls 8 and 9s in Great Witchingham with Tanya Kyle, Mark Kyle's wife, and she'd done a fantastic job producing him. And Susie said, "Oh, you should really come look at this horse." So we went and looked at him, and I think he really fit the bill. This was the fall of 2014, and he'd had a very strong competitive 2014 year. So we actually purchased him in the fall of 2014, but I was still at university. And the plan was for me actually to go and stay over with Kevin McNabb for the 2014 competition year. So actually, sorry, that was the fall of 2013 when we purchased him. So I went over in the winter of 2014, started working with Kevin with Domino, and we really just flew up the grades. I think we did one or two novices, and then moved up to intermediate, did a CIC two-star at Rockingham, and then we did the under 25 two-star at Tats, and I think came seventh, and then we did a few three-stars, ending on the CCI three-star at Ballandenisk in the fall of 2014. And then we brought him over here, and then I'd had a pretty mixed results spring season on him, and then it's really come together this summer and fall.
And, you know, that is an invaluable experience, of course, Jacob. You know, we've talked about, you know, before you ever went to England, long ago, we began this conversation of your journey through junior young riders and the experience that you would have gained in England. What was your biggest takeaway and then bringing those horses back and competing on this circuit again?
You know what? It's so hard to even pick the biggest thing that influenced me in England. I think I learned so much and came back very different from where I left. But the biggest thing would be the system that I was lucky enough to be immersed in with Kevin, and have been able to bring that back and continue using that on all of my horses. And it's been invaluable for me.
Has it made you more ambitious?
Yeah. I always like, for sure. Yeah.
So you really have the bug now. So it's all a matter
of... Oh, I've got the bug for sure. But you know, that spending a whole year in England too, I really even appreciate just riding younger horses day in and day out, or older, and just seeing the progression throughout the days and weeks. I enjoy that nearly as much as competing nowadays.
Well, it's a long way from Arkansas, of course, and I'm sure you appreciated the food as well and the climate.
For sure. I had to carry around a salt shaker with me for a little bit, but then I got used to it, and it was very good. I've always had stomach issues over here because with how little time I have at university, I always just go to McDonald's or Burger King or something like that for pretty much all three meals, which is not the best. But I would say the food is, on the average, much healthier in England. So, yeah, I'd have porridge for breakfast and then cook lunch again, and then we'd cook lunch dinner as well. So it was very healthy for me.
Very consistent. There you go. Well, of course, back in Arkansas now, back at school, this win would have made a great deal of difference to you, obviously, in terms of confidence going forward for the rest of the season. And you have a number of other horses too. How many are currently in work for you, Jacob, right now?
Right now, I've actually sold a few. So right now I have three, although I have a young horse, a four-year-old, coming over from Ireland here in the next few weeks. It's hopefully I'm going to be able to bring up and have a lot of fun with in the next 2 years or so. So then I'll have four in work.
And the plans for Atlantic Domino then, now he's at advanced, where do you think you'll go with him next year? Are you looking that far ahead?
Yeah. So I actually have not decided, because I think a lot of it depends on if Galway goes well still. But by a lot, I pretty much mean like everything depends on if Galway goes well. But assuming Galway goes well, which I'm really hoping it does, I would love to try and go to the Bramham Under 25 CCI 3-star that the USEF is doing for the Under 25 group. I think that would be an incredible experience. And, you know, the Flyaway Feral Horse, I was actually just as impressed and elated with him this past weekend as Domino. So I'm going to be aiming at the same for him.
All right. Yeah, two good horses there, obviously, both finishing in the top 10 there in the Advanced Gold Cup final, the Adequan Advanced Gold Cup final, that is, this year. So this competition would have meant a lot to you. Lots of celebrations then after that win?
Yeah, we had a good time. There was a big party afterwards, and Mike, this is his last year officially coaching the full junior and young rider team. So we had a big send-off for him, and there was a new award announced for young rider coaches in his name. So there was definitely, it was a party for all of Area 5, and we definitely went out through the night.
I'm sure you did. You know how to party, don't you, Jacob? You learned that from when you were eventing in England, probably.
Pretty much. I tell you what, there's no after-parties like there are in Ireland.
They know how to do it. Well, obviously, lots to look forward to then with the horses that you have going forward. We will continue to follow you with interest. And again, congratulations and thank you for coming on the program.
Great. Thank you very much. And it was nice to catch up.
And you can find the full results plus reports and photos from the AECs on the website at useventing.com. And whilst you're there, be sure to go to the convention link and register for this year's annual convention. You can also follow latest news and updates via our social media on Facebook and Twitter. And you can join us back here every week for our podcast, bringing you more news, views and interviews, which, of course, you can also subscribe to on iTunes. Just download the podcast there to any podcast app. I'm Chris Stafford. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.